इन तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः नाम श्रेष्ठं मनमपि शचिपुत्रम् अत्र स्वरूपम् रूपं तस्यागजमुरुपुरीं माथुरीं गोष्ठवतीं राधाकुण्डं गिरिवरमहो राधिका माधवाशं प्राप्तो यस्य प्रथितकृपया श्रीगुरुं तं नतोऽस्मि वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरु श्रियतःपरकमलं श्रीगुरुं वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं सागजातं सहगणरत्नतन्वितं तं सजीवम् साद्वैतं सावधूतं हरिजनसहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्विताश्च हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे You can go and sit with everyone else. We already have this. I don't need 5 people, right? Or even 2. This quality won't be very good anyway compared to this. So you can just take this one if you need it. There's another recording going on here. Everyone has their own. Every kid more than 3 years old has their own recording device. Yeah, so that's what I want to talk about. Is simple living and high thinking, which is definitely not the national motto of the United Arab Emirates. It's high living, literally. Everyone's living in the sky. This is on the, which floor are we on here? Second floor? Third floor. So that's low. That's low living compared to a lot of other people in Dubai. Simple living and high thinking was a concept that Srila Prabhupada often spoke about. I'm also speaking about it. It's something to be lived. Do we have translation going on? You have Hindi translation is going on. I've not done that. Do you answer? Bustapara. So, yeah, it's something to be lived. We are told that the most popular wallpapers, that's another word that's been redefined by computer technology. The most popular wallpapers are of natural scenes. Fields billowing with wheat, the seashore. So people are sitting on the 99th floor of a building with air conditioning and in a big city. But the wallpaper on their computer is of some natural or semi-natural scene, because after all, a field of wheat is not exactly natural in the sense that it is modified by man. But they only get to see such things on the internet, and maybe once or twice a year. They drive out of the city and then they can see some fields. In cities like London, they take children on outings out of the country and they can see real cows for the first time. You don't see cows, not in Dubai. You don't see them except maybe on the TV, or unfortunately you see them. It's horrible to even think of, but you have to see parts of cow bodies in the shops for eating. Horrible even to think of, but you have to see it. And I guess even a lot of children growing up in India, they don't see cows. You don't see them wandering around the streets of Bombay. That'll become more and more illegal in India. Already in many cities, it's illegal to keep cows. Although Shastra says that householders should keep cows. Every householder should have some cows. But that's now illegal because the needs of the modern city are different. So one thing that all members of this movement should understand very clearly, and we all understood very clearly, when I say we, I mean Srila Prabhupada's disciples, when we joined, we understood it very clearly. Well, one reason was from experience, but that experience was clarified, put in focus by Srila Prabhupada always speaking about it. What am I talking about? That modern society is demoniac. Nowadays, devotees don't seem to have such a clear understanding of this, probably because they're not listening to Prabhupada and what Srila Prabhupada said. Much of what he said is not said anymore by those who claim to be his followers. But it was very clear from Srila Prabhupada that modern society is demoniac. And of course, it wasn't just his own personal opinion. Srila Prabhupada spoke on the basis of Shastra. We can understand from Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam that modern society is dominated by the lower modes of nature. Even the mode of goodness means godly life, and above and beyond that is Krishna consciousness. Even though there is religion in the world, that religion is, most of the what goes on in the name of the religion is going on under the influence of the lower modes of nature, and thus we have religious systems that promote as sacred acts animal slaughter, that allows it. I recently heard about a Catholic priest who is promoting vegetarianism. I'd be interested to ask him, how can you be a Catholic priest promoting vegetarianism? Well, you're supposed to revere the Pope, who's a meat eater, and he's saying that it's a Christian quality to be a vegetarian. So what about all your meat-eating saints? And they even claim that Jesus was a meat-eater. Of course, he himself probably doesn't, but most of their so-called saints were all meat-eaters. I read a book recently by a devotee who said that he, in America, he meets many nice people who are nice in their general behavior. Christians, they believe in God. But he asked one Christian pastor who had come back that morning from shooting. It's a popular hobby in America. People go out with guns and they shoot dead deer. So this minister was telling his Christian friends how he shot the doe, a doe, the female deer. The children all know that. They're having their Western education. They see what is it? It's not Sarema. It's something else in
Doremi.
I don't know. I forgot it. But doe, it's they just
like sound of music.
Doe, a deer, a female deer. So he was talking about how he shot a doe, and this devotee said to him that, well, because there's this saying in America, what would Jesus do? It's a popular saying. among Christians that you're supposed to check your own behavior by thinking, what would Jesus do? It's quite good, actually. I mean, if it's properly applied, we could think, what would Srila Prabhupada do? Which would not necessarily be what we would do, because he's a Paramahamsa and has to act as guru to others. But we can think, what would Srila Prabhupada want us to do? So this devotee, presumably he wasn't dressed as a devotee, he asked the pastor. You know what pastor means? It means like a priest, Christian priest. Well, do you think Jesus would have shot the doe dead? Presumably the doe had her mate also. And the pastor, in the presence of all his Christian friends, said that he stopped for a moment. He wasn't expecting such a question. And then he said, Jesus would have been more intelligent. He would have waited for the buck to come. The buck is the male, which is bigger bodied. And he would have shot that dead instead. So this is demonism in the name of religion. Anyway, the point I wanted to make is that a modern society is demoniac, and Srila Prabhupada had a proposal alternative to modern society, which is simply to live in the same way as most people lived for countless generations, to live simply. Simple living doesn't necessarily mean high thinking. As I wrote in the introduction to the book, Glimpses of Traditional Indian Life, many people, they live among their cows and their buffaloes and their horses and their donkeys and their chickens and their pigs and their dogs and their cats and their ducks and their geese and whatever other animals they may have, but their consciousness is hardly much higher than that of the animals they live among. So simply to live simply is not in itself saintly. But it does tend to foster at least some level of religiousness. People who live on the land and they produce food, we say produce food, but they can only be the... just like Brahma is the secondary creator of this world, so people, they can till fields and plant seeds, and with rice, with many crops you need to replant it, and you can do irrigation and all these things, but ultimately the farmers can understand that they're dependent on higher powers, because if there's no rain, they're in trouble. Or if there's too much rain, they're in trouble. Or sometimes it happens that there's a storm just the night before they're going to harvest the crops and all the crops are spoiled. So they understand that they're at the mercy of higher powers. And there are many things as which modern so-called advanced people don't know, but traditional farmers know, that you have to sow your seeds under a certain nakshatra, certain stellar influence, and there are so many things which point to the higher powers. So, simple living. Well, Srila Prabhupada's purpose in promoting simple living was not simply to live simply. There's no point in simple living any more than there's any point in complex living, unless there's high thinking. Although simple living gives time and for high thinking, and it doesn't clutter up your mind with all kinds of complex things, which complex living does. So much information is one thing, so many distractions. And a very complex way of thinking also, because in complex societies, people have all kinds of, they're actually called complexes. People have complexes, means some mental complex situation. When we say high thinking, when people live simply, then the idea is that they're supposed to have extra time and an uncluttered mind so that they have an opportunity for high thinking. That high thinking, that has to be cultivated also. It doesn't just, it might grow by itself, but generally things are, to have successful farming has to be organized, there has to be a plan, so it has to be directed. And high thinking doesn't just mean thinking, it means a whole way of life. Particularly for devotees, that means sadhana, regular sadhana. So this was very much Srila Prabhupada's plan. It was to be the next phase of his movement. He introduced hearing and chanting about Krishna. He introduced temples, festivals, book production and distribution. And the next phase was to be the simple living and high thinking Kamvanashram phase. But Srila Prabhupada passed away and it never really happened, although farms were purchased in various places in Srila Prabhupada's presence. But for various reasons, simple living and high thinking farm communities never really took off, and it's largely an abandoned project within our society at the present time. Although it must be the natural. Without that, the Krishna conscious movement, as Srila Prabhupada envisioned it, can't go forward properly, because the idea is that we preach, we distribute books, more people become devotees, and then we have to demonstrate a better way of life. Otherwise, we can't say that this modern society is demoniac if we simply take part in it. By being economically dependent on it, then we have to accept either, if not explicitly, then implicitly, we have to accept its values. And we have to associate with non-devotees. We can't demonstrate. The whole idea of Krishna consciousness spreading widely all over the world also seems to be an abandoned project, which was Srila Prabhupada's idea. When I say widely, I mean not just in different countries with a few people like this coming together, but Srila Prabhupada spoke about whole nations becoming Krishna conscious. That's now also forgotten. Maybe you didn't even know about that, because it's not, it just seems to be an impossible dream. And then we have to say that, well, actually Prabhupada, he was, you know, he said so many things which are not really possible. And then we start to make offenses to Prabhupada because of our offense of not seeing through his vision. His vision was that people can live in Krishna consciousness. We can make whole countries Krishna conscious. That means there has to be a change. We can, not that we go on with this demoniac society, which is demoniac in so many ways. It's really Kale Dosha Nidhi. It's modern life is really demonstrating how Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults. Everything. And the most amazing thing is that still most people think it's good. They think it's a nice way of life. If someone in India gets a job in Dubai and you think, oh, how great, how wonderful. And you're all laughing because you all have jobs in Dubai. Actually, even to have a job is demeaning. No respectable person in India would have a job, right? You're from a Vaishya family. You're from a Brahmin family. To have a job is just extremely low class. That was what people thought up to your grandfather's generation, probably. To work for someone, to be so dependent. That's modern life is making everyone shooters. They feel dependent and they feel, ah, I got a good job. Ah, how wonderful. I'm a good dog. I got a good master. He gives me enough bones to chew on. So there's so many discrepancies, which even many of the karmis themselves are pointing out, but they don't have any solution. Srila Prabhupada gave the solution. But it's not so easy to take up for various reasons. The main one is that we don't believe in it. If you don't believe in something, how can you pursue it? And that's because we're brainwashed by the modern society, it's called education, into thinking that you have to have a job and you have to have money, otherwise you can't live. And if you don't have a job and you don't have money, you're not a respectable person. Unless you're working for some demon, then you're not a respectable person. You don't even know which demon in a multinational corporation or any corporation. You don't even know which gang of demons you're working for. So the way our forefathers lived, we think, we can't live like that. It's not possible. And actually, it is possible, despite all attempts to improve on the system, Krishna's system of placing seeds in the ground and watering them, still works. We don't know how long, all the poisoning of the land and the poisoning of the seeds and the poisoning of the water, but by Krishna's mercy, it still works. There are some things that have to be tolerated, such as heat in the summer without air conditioning, and cold in the winter, which means if you want to heat, if you want to have hot water for a bath, you have to heat it with fire, which you made from wood. So that's inconvenient. It's not so comfortable. So it's certainly more comfortable to have hot and cold running water, or in Dubai in the summer, hot and hot running water, because the cold water is also hot. And of course in England in the winter you have the problem of frozen pipes, so you don't get any water at all, and just the pipes burst, because as you may have learned, you probably haven't seen it coming from a hot country like India, but when water freezes, its volume increases, so pipes burst when the water freezes in them. So there are some inconveniences, but there are points of great value also, such as for devotees who leave the city and join these communities. They live with devotees. For them, devotional service it's not something they try to squeeze in as they're hectically earning money and there's not much time for anything else. Actually, to do sadhana to the minimum level that Srila Prabhupada gave us means minimum 6 hours a day. But the vast, huge majority of devotees all over the world nowadays probably don't even do half of that. Because they can chant their 16 rounds, that's an achievement. And a lot of that's done probably on the bus, or while driving in the car, or while reading the newspaper, or whatever, watching TV, and all other things that devotees are not really supposed to do. But you can do that if you don't have to rush off to work. You save time in commuting. The only place to commute to is from your house to the temple and out to the field. Physically, it's actually much more healthy, although it can feel difficult at first. Apart from the material benefits, the spiritual benefits of living with devotees and not living with non-devotees, and having time for chanting Hare Krishna. That's the main, that's the real benefit. Now there are difficulties in setting it up, because nowadays land, even in the remotest spot, is expensive. Probably if you go to the interior of Africa, you'll find the price of land is expensive there also, because every inch of cultivatable land in the world is on a Google map, and China's buying up land in Africa because they're afraid that their own land won't be enough to support their population. So land is expensive and most people can't afford to buy it. So if you want to set up a community, that's an immediate obstacle. One obstacle might be that no one wants to join such a community. Who's going to agree to leave the city and their comfortable life and their secure job and go and live on the, take the risk, it's also a risk, you don't know if things are going to work out. Well, I'm happy to report that some pilot projects have started recently in India. In Gujarat, Karnataka, Tamil Nadu, and Andhra Pradesh. And we're finding that actually devotees, it's not that everyone's completely against the idea, there are devotees who are willing to take that risk because they think that, I don't want to send my kids to these, that seems to be a major motivation. They don't want to send their children to schools in which, for instance, well, there are all kinds of problems with the schools. For instance, at the schools, they will be asked, what was the score in the IPL match last night? IPL means Indian Professional League Cricket. For any of you who may not be aware of that, I'm aware of it. Why am I aware of it? What have I got to do with that? Well, living in India, you get to know, because people tell you. I was told by a devotee just the other day that the kid is going to school and they're not sure about moving to the farm project, but there are problems with sending their kid to school because that's the kind of thing. And then the kid thinks, well, I'm left out, everyone, they don't even know what IPL is, and all the kids think they're stupid, and then they'll want to watch the TV and to watch the cricket so they can know the score so they don't appear stupid. So there's a problem. Then at school, there's the kids bring their tiffin with all different, they want to share it, and the kids, again, the devotee children feel left out. So there are many problems, all kinds of horrible things they teach you. I've seen the social studies syllabus, and they said, They're saying, these are the foods we eat. They're vegetables and rice and eggs and meat and so on. They don't say that this is, they just say these are the foods. So, apart from the curriculum not being Krishna conscious, it's out and out demonic. And the whole aim is just to make people into more shudras and not Krishna conscious. Krishna conscious is banned in the schools. So that's a major factor in devotees wanting to join such communities where their children can be sheltered from these demoniac influences. So we're actually finding that there are devotees who are willing to, happy, and they have that much faith in the words of Srila Prabhupada and in the arrangement of Krishna, and they're willing to, they have the pioneering spirit, they're willing to do that. And communities, they've made a start. We can't say that, I won't be able to say within this lifetime when these communities, I won't be able to say this community is a success, because after 50 years we could say it's a success. You won't be able to say either. Those were start, we, after 50 years, if it's going on, and if the devotees who are moving there, if their grandchildren are still living on the land, then we can say, and chanting Hare Krishna and doing everything that they're supposed to do in Krishna consciousness, then we could say it's a success. And of course, in this material world, sakale deha mahata yoga nashta parantapa, everything tends to decline. Therefore, strong preaching is required at every stage, even to tell people about it, even for devotees to even believe in this, for them to go, for them to stay, and over the generations, we'll always have to preach that this is the way of life we want to lead. We're going to have to tell our children and our grandchildren, because there's always going to be materialistic society. Even if the oil does run out, which it probably will, it's on the way to be running out. Even if the whole world around us is forced by the breakdown of society as it's running on now, as is widely predicted, the oil will run out and then we'll have all these highways and there'll be bullock carts running on them. But still there'll be materialistic society. It doesn't, if the oil runs out and we, and society in general is forced to revert to a more simple way of life, doesn't mean that people are all then suddenly become saints. They're still going to be materialistic people. So we'll still need our own Krishna conscious communities. But anyway, this much we can say, that there's promising start. Problems, definitely. Problems, starting it up, it's not going to be easy. No doubt. There are all kinds of challenges, external and internal, how devotees can live with each other. In Kali Yuga, living together is not always easy. Different people's expectations and ideas. There's always the danger, it doesn't always manifest, but there's always the danger of the problem that when there's a community someone wants to dominate over and become the local leader, but for the wrong reasons, egoism or whatever, exploitive spirit. So that's always possible in Krishna consciousness, not only in farm communities, but in any community, in temple communities or whatever. There's always the possibility, and it does quite often manifests that leaders, though even in their own minds they may think themselves to be sincerely serving Prabhupada's mission, but they tend to mistreat others, even they don't even understand they're doing it, or they're incompetent or whatever. So it's a great challenge in many ways. But this much we can say, that there are promising signs that with hand in hand with these funky communities go the gurukuls, where we're going, we want to train the children to develop their natural taste for Krishna consciousness. That's the real purpose of gurukul. It's not to teach them Sanskrit or even Mridanga playing or even Bhagavad Gita slogans. I mean, all these things are definitely there and they're definitely important, but the real thing is that they will develop their natural love for Krishna. So that, and again, we thought that, well, many devotees thought that no one will want to send their children to such a school. There are no certificates, no job prospects. And then what will the relatives say, and on and on and on. But we're actually finding that then many parents want to send their children. Even some, as Srila Prabhupada had said, even some people who are not devotees will want to send their children. We're seeing that also. Because Srila Prabhupada said, if they see the good character, they'll be impressed by that. And in one of the places, one man has sent his son. His son's, because his son's not good in studies, so he said, you take him. He's 14 years old. You take him and engage him. And so the boy, he's 14 years old. He's learned how to make cow products and all kinds of things. He's learned. He's taking up adult services. He does shopping and goes to the village and does shopping and like this. So his father's happy. But what's the use of him being in school? He's learning how to do practical, useful things. That cow products, he can be engaged all his life in. What do you need to have a big education to make cow products? Cow products means from the urine, mostly. So there are good signs. When I fairly recently visited one of the projects, I saw one Grihastha couple there. Now, since their marriage, although she was highly qualified, she had never worked, because that's what I tell my disciples. It's better that the women don't work. They have to look after the family and the home. So, she's never worked, but the husband and father had a good job in the city, and he's a good devotee. Otherwise, he wouldn't have gone out to the farm anyway if he didn't have that much commitment. But he was earning well, as they say. So anyway, I saw them, and when I saw them, I said to them that your faces have become black and bright, both. Black from the sun and bright from happiness. And it was, you could see that there was, even though they were good, very good devotees, even before they moved to the land, they were clearly much more happy, because they're living 24 hours Krishna consciousness. Whereas previously, there was only limited time, and they're living with devotees, so clearly very, very happy. And they thank me, thank you so much for sending us. Actually, it wasn't my idea, it was their idea to come. I didn't go to their home and stand there with a stick and tell them I'm going to beat you unless you move to the land. I don't pressurize anyone, but they took it up by themselves, and they're very, very happy. And there were some at this Vyasa Puja, there were some written offerings, and devotees just expressing their happiness. How remember they're living in the country with no electricity. Who will want to live like that? But they're saying, we're so happy after coming here. It was a little bit difficult adjusting in the beginning, but in the city there's always noise and tension, and here it's always peaceful and calm. In the city everyone is absorbed in their own material affairs, but here everyone is cooperating to serve Krishna. In the city the music we hear blaring out from the auto rickshaws is just some nonsense materialistic sounds, but here we all the time we're doing Krishna kirtan. So instead, just giving a whole list of how they're so happy. So these are good signs that people are ready to leave their good jobs and take that up, and they're doing it. They're growing their food, not all of it, but they've made a start. And they're happy. Yeah, there's another thing. At night, even if you want to take rest, you can't rest till at least 11 o'clock, because up to that time there's always blaring of auto rickshaws and TVs blaring away at least until 11 o'clock. But if there's no electricity, what are you going to do? Shortly, it means that there'll be an evening program, and usually by 8:30, devotees have taken rest. And they get up early. And they have full utilization of the early morning hours, which are best for spiritual life. And very healthy, regulated life. Snake problem. Snakes, yeah. And they put some fencing all around. But, yeah, there may be snake problem, but then there's no truck problem. Truck is going to come and run you down. There are more people killed in the cities by trucks and buses than there are people killed by snakes in the village. So it's a good start. It's a promising start. Gurukul also, and the different Gurukuls. That one in Salem is with older boys, and you see them doing very, very nicely. Some of the boys, their parents don't want them to be, but they just say, I'm staying here, I'm not going to that school. They refuse to go. They want to learn about Krishna. It's amazing how in this modern age, even in America, even in the West, there are people who they want to be devoted. Even though they have all opportunity to... They're raised in a demoniac society. I'm not talking about people who go from India, but I'm talking about people born in regular American homes with no contact with Krishna consciousness who grow up. And they still, and they come in contact with devotees, and although they've been raised in a demoniac education system, but they come in contact with devotees, and they want to be devotees. It's Krishna's mercy that even in this horrible age, people want to be devotees. And in India also, which is going on under demoniac influence in almost every way, there are people who want to be devotees. So there is hope, even in this dark Kali Yuga. But I just wanted to tell you about that, seeing as some of you are thinking about that. Why should I have this high living and low thinking all my life? Why should I live like this? And what's the future for my kids? Of course, they can be devotees. Of many children of devotees in Dubai, they also remain devotees, but at least in terms of lifestyle, it's a compromised lifestyle. If you grow up, children are devotees, but then you, again you join the regular workforce. At least in terms of lifestyle, it's compromise. It's not the ideal at all. So this is a better alternative. So there are some thoughts. There's a little report, glowing report, you may say. Well, I did say there are problems, and there are, and there will be. And even if in 50 years' time the projects are going on, we don't know. I don't know if they'll be going on in 5 days' time. We don't know what will happen in this material world. But there'll be problems because the material world is the world of problems. And unless and until we're completely pure devotees, there will be problems. And even sometimes between pure devotees, in Dwarka, the Kritavarma and Akrura, they were involved in a plot and they killed Krishna's father-in-law. It's right there in the Srimad Bhagavatam, I didn't make it up. So they're both recognized as pure devotees, Akrura and Kritavarma. And Kritavarma, he joined the Kaurava forces, as did other respectable persons, Kripa, Drona, Bhishma, Vikarna. He was also a good guy among all the sons of Dhritarashtra. Oh, actually, I mean, among the Kshatriya sons, but there was also the other one, the one son of the Vaishya. Who is that? What was his name? Yuyutsu? He joined the Pandava forces. So, we can't expect utopia, but we can expect that we will have a considerably, significantly better lifestyle. Like, see there, you may say, how significantly better? There's no electricity, no running water, no cars. That's why it's better. That is why it's better. Because you don't have all these things. You don't have all these distractions. And you don't have... Your children are not mad after having the latest iPod and iPad, and they have to have it. And they... In Britain, I was told, most kids nowadays, the first thing they do in the morning before they get out of bed is turn on their whatever it is, iPod, BlackBerry, Android, and do something or other in that. Look to see if they have any SMS, whatever. It's the first thing they do. It's like it's the center of their life. Toma bine ke achayamai. I don't know anything about you. So, you know, it's like really their life depends on it. And it's an anartha. It is an unnecessary, unwanted distraction. Of course, such things can be used in Krishna's service. Anything can be used in Krishna's service. But for most people, it's a distraction. It costs money. If you're only growing the food that you need, plus a little extra as a buffer for possible crop failures and for trade by barter, for the Vaishyas, they produce grains more than they need because they have to feed the whole society. So, but it's not like it's not a commercial. Our communities, they're not meant to be commercial. But if you have to have an iPod, you have to have extra money, then you have to produce extra crop. iPod and a motorcycle, which are considered necessities in modern life, then you have to produce more so you can sell it to buy the things that you need, which you actually don't need. Then to produce more, you're going to have to get fertilizers and tractors, and that's simple living has gone to hell. So these are all anarthas which your children, or if you are children, you, and if you're not a child, also you, are victims of, because you need to operate in the modern world, you have to have all these things. And they're all unnecessary. Our definition of an advanced person is not a person who has all the latest gadgets, but a person who has no desire for any such things. That is advanced. Our definition of an advanced person is someone who is quite content to live with the absolute minimum, and actually not only content but prefers to live with the minimum. The more things you have, the more clutter, and it clutters your, not only clutters your house, but clutters your mind. You just live as simply as possible, that's all. Don't take anything more than you need. And put your attention on Krishna and Krishna consciousness. That is our understanding of who is an advanced person, not a person who has got all kinds of unnecessary things and thinks himself better than others because he's got more unnecessary things than they have. What a nonsense outlook. But this materialistic outlook. I've got a bigger house than you. I've got a bigger dog than you. My wife is more beautiful than your wife. Well, maybe she's not. Maybe I should take your wife also. That's how materialistic people think. It's called Maya. It's a big illusion. It traps us in this material world. It causes us to be born again and again. Even if we're initiated devotees, if we have attachment to all these things, material attachment means we have to get born again. It's not that, sometime in my life I sat down in a sermon and ever since then I've had a bead bag and I go to all the satsangs. But if we're attached to material things, then we have to get born again. Sannyasi can also be attached to his kopins, to his gamcha, maybe to his plush apartment, but really sannyasi is not really meant to have plush apartments. But even if you live very simply, you can be attached to those things also. It's not that simply by living simply that you become spiritually advanced. But even the desire to live simply is a sign that one is, to live simply in Krishna consciousness is a sign that one's got the right idea and going in the right direction. So Maya is always there. But the thing is, we don't have to put out a big red carpet for Maya and invite her in the front door. We can live our life in such a way that we are very consciously, purposely living our life with very clearly Krishna consciousness as the priority. Living, going to the land, living simply means for the sake of cultivating Krishna consciousness, means we very clearly make Krishna consciousness our priority. Whereas living in this city life is not so clear what our priority is. We have other priorities, although you can't, means the word priority is misused. But that means we have other things which we put on the same or at least nearly the same level as Krishna consciousness. Then it becomes very important to us, that, or at least to our children, and you have to, it becomes very important to them that they have to have all the latest gadgets like their friends at school. And so it becomes important to you. and your prestige, and sending your kids to this, it becomes very important that they get a good degree, because you're an illusion that they can't get a good job and they can't live like civilized human beings. Although it's coming in India that already it's there, that over-educated population means that you have people with university degrees who are working on building sites and driving auto rickshaws, as is already standard in the West. So the difference between a postman with a degree and a postman without a degree is that the postman with a degree has to pay for it. He has to spend 20 years paying for his degree. that's the actual difference, because he took a loan for his university course, and he has to, on his little money he earns, he has to, you know, along with all the trying to get as much sense gratification as he can, on top of surviving with his meager salary, he also has to pay off the loan that he took. And plus, generally, people don't want to, they don't generally don't want to employ people who are highly qualified, because they don't make such good postmen, another thing, because they're always frustrated. In fact, one devotee in Slovenia, I heard, he could never get a job because he's a PhD, and there's no job for him in that particular line. And it's a government rule that even if you're employed in a lower level of job, if you have a PhD, you have to be paid more. So no one wants to employ him, because they don't need a PhD for working in a, you know, working on a production line. But they have to pay him more because he's a PhD, so he couldn't get a job at all. It's actually a detriment to him. So anyway, Ananta Shayan doesn't have a PhD, so he doesn't have to worry about that. I remember at school there was a lab technician in our school who was a PhD in physics. A lab technician is a highfalutin word for someone who comes and sets up the basic experiments that the kids do in the basic chemistry and physics classes. And he was so frustrated because he had this physics PhD and he wasn't even on the level of a teacher. I don't know why he was working as a lab technician. So like that. And then, you know, this biology MSc was teaching us at this very basic level. But he felt happy because he said, I deliberately want to be a teacher because it's short hours, long holidays, that's why. That was his reason. No feeling that he wants to educate the children or help the children or any such thing. So many anomalies and discrepancies come up. Whereas in our own communities, then we want the children to be Krishna conscious. We want to look after them. We want them to see them come up. Parents in the modern world, they don't even know their children. The children don't even want to know their parents, if they have parents. I mean, if they actually happen to live with both their biological parents, which is increasingly unusual in the modern age. And even then, the children most don't. The parents are too busy for the kids, and the kids are not interested in the parents because they're playing games on the computers. Anyway, you can go on forever. There are so many reasons why. Anyway, so, well, I was sorry, it's not as bad as America. And that's what they said 30 years ago also. But now it's as bad as it was America 30 years ago. You get my point? 31 generation ago, Indian people used to say, well, our society is not as bad as America. And they're still saying that, and it's still true, but it's as bad as America was 30 years ago. So if you say our society is not as bad as America, it's got as bad as it was at that time, if not worse. So you say, well, we're better than you, better, but getting worse all the time. So Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Questions, comments, and objections may now be fielded.
Guru Maharaj, we're very happy that you spent 70-something days in Panchavati Karmandurai in the last year. And
I would have spent more if I didn't have to keep on coming down for all these medical tests and things. I kept on having to.
If you could come please give us your impressions of the place, the devotees there, just.
In that particular project, well, why should I speak about that particular project? Well, because it's sponsored by.
That's what we're doing.
It's sponsored by Dubai, I see. Well, there are other projects also. Yeah, well, for me, it's the best place for me to write. Up on a hill, in a little hut. And I have the anarata of an electric line being brought into my hut. But I need it for my computer. So it's very nice. You can, if you stay long enough, you can feel the difference in the seasons, which here you don't see so much because you're indoors all the time. And you can see the movements of the moon and feel the freshness of the air. And be with the devotees, have Mangalarti, walk through the fields every morning to Mangalarti. A torch is needed part of the time, and part of the time the moonlight is enough to walk through the field. Anyway, you go there, experience it yourself. It's very encouraging to see devotees going there, staying there, growing their food. They still have, they grow ragi and dal there, and they still, now it'll be the third crop coming up now.
Yes.
Third crop, but they still have excess from the first crop, the first time they did it. It means they're producing more than they need. So they send it down to the city temple also. Hare Krishna. Anything else? No. All right, so we'll finish there. And Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.